Thank you so much, praise and worship team, for doing a beautiful job of leading us to the throne of grace this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Exodus? Exodus chapter 2. And I'll try not to drive you sound people crazy. I'm not used to using a handheld. I haven't used one for a while. And those of you that are used to hearing me preach, you know I'm kind of up and down, in and out, and all over the place. And it's nice when I can have that thing stand in one place. But with this, so I hope I won't drive you guys too crazy. I'll try not to. Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called for the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And I want to preach this morning for a few moments on the subject of a portrait of a mother's faith. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege once again of opening your word. And Lord, we come this morning knowing that no man is sufficient to the task of delivering your word without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we would humbly ask today for you to pour out your Spirit upon us as we minister your word, that you would make it plain and clear to us, and that, Lord, you would bring forth what I know you want today, a message of hope and faith. Help me to preach it in a way that will do justice to your word, which can only be done through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that it would bring glory and honor to the name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, may everyone's faith be built today, especially the mothers, and will not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In the preceding chapter of the book of Exodus, we find that after some 300 years of Israel being under Egyptian rule, that a Pharaoh comes to the throne of Egypt who is not friendly any longer to the Hebrew people. As a matter of fact, the new Pharaoh fears the Hebrew people. Previously, they had experienced under Egyptian control a relatively secure lifestyle because Egypt was still gracious toward the Hebrews because of Joseph, saving the entire nation of Egypt from starving to death with the wisdom that God had given him. But now that's been forgotten, and this new Pharaoh sees how quickly the Hebrew nation is multiplying. And he becomes fearful that the Hebrews will multiply so greatly that they will be able to take over Egypt. And so he sends forth a decree, a diabolical decree, and commands the midwives to throw every Hebrew baby into the Nile River. That's abortion mentality. Throw every new baby into the Nile River was the decree that came from Pharaoh. Because God was working a plan to send a deliverer to the Hebrew people. And we do not know how much Satan comes through knowledge through the spiritual world. But I believe he had to know that God was not going to allow his people to forever stay enslaved to Egypt. And this Pharaoh, under satanic fear, gives a decree to kill every Hebrew baby by throwing it into the Nile River. I thank God for people who are willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ and not compromise his word or his gospel. Those are the most precious people in the world. And this morning, as we sit here in this church, their names may not be prominent now, but one day in the portals of glory, people we've never heard of from all corners of the world are going to be recognized by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because they took a stand for their faith and for Jesus Christ, refusing to go the way or obey the commands of an evil society. Oh, I've got to preach this morning now. We've got a stupid president. We have an idiot for a president. Any fool who would say that it's okay for a man to get married and put his stamp of approval on it, I don't care how high his degree, and I don't care how much education he has, and I don't care how much earthly power he has, he's a fool! God give us people in the United States of America once again, preachers that'll stand behind their pulpits and declare the word of Almighty God and say, thus saith the Lord, we have not come to be a diplomat, we have come to issue an ultimatum from Almighty God. Moses' mother, Jochebed, was such a woman. As she is expectant with child in the midst of this horrible decree that has come from Pharaoh. There's also two godly Hebrew women midwives you read about in chapter 1 who decide to take a stand for their God in spite of the king's decree. Their names were Shiphrah and Puah. And I love what their names mean in Hebrew. Beauty and splendor. In God's sight, it's always beauty and splendor when his children follow his word and take a stand for him. Shiphrah and Puah made up their minds, we're not going to throw the first baby into the Nile River. And they refused to obey the king's command. And I'm going to tell you something. God's wisdom is so much higher than that of man. And the Bible says God will always give you a way of escape. So the king heard, Pharaoh Necho heard, that his decree to the Hebrew women, the midwives, was not being obeyed. He calls Shiphrah and Puah in. And he said, why are you not obeying my command? Bear in mind, they were under a death warrant for not obeying the king's command. And I love what they told Pharaoh Necho. It was absolute 100% truth and totally justified their actions at the same time. They said the Hebrew women, and I'm paraphrasing it, due to being in such good shape, the hard labor, not birth labor, but the working labor that they had to under kept them in great shape. And they said, when they give birth, they're too lively. Their babies are born too quick for us to get to them, for us to even get there, and we can't throw them in the Nile. And the king still, after this, held to his decree and sent out his own people to throw Hebrew babies into the Nile River. Upon hearing this, Jochebed, the mother of Moses. The Bible tells us in chapter 2, when Moses was born, that she looked upon him, Jochebed did, and said that he was a goodly child. There's something about having the anointing of God and a specific call of God on an individual's life. It's noticeable not only to the church, but to the world also. Moses was chosen by God to be born, for God to raise him up to be the deliverer of the Hebrew people. And God put it in this mother's heart. And what this message is all about today, it's about the faith of a mother. But the faith lesson that we hopefully I'll be able to bring forth properly from this message today should be a blessing to everyone. Jochebed believed God. And when she looked upon this baby, Moses, she knew that God's hand was on him for something special. God puts that in a mother's heart. I'm going to use my own mother this morning. She knew from the time I was a baby that God had his call on my life. I knew it too from the time I was a very young man. But that's what Jochebed saw in this baby, a call of God, a special touch of God. She recognized it. I think every mother knows that their child is born into this world for something special. God's not a junk maker. Every person born in this world is born for something special. But with Moses, God had a very definitive and unique call on his life, and Jochebed recognized it. And I love what Jochebed's name means in Hebrew also. It means glory of Jehovah. She was sold out to her God. And she hid the baby as long as she could. As babies all around her, no doubt by now the soldiers of Pharaoh were going house to house to find Hebrew babies and were throwing them in the Nile River. But somehow, and I think I know how, God gave Jochebed the faith to believe. Can I tell you something? You have all these faith teachers out there telling you to do things to build your faith. I am convinced that only Jesus Christ, through faith in him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can implant faith in our hearts. Let me say it not as eloquently as that. If he don't give it to us, we won't get it. We can't work it up. That's one of the most futile things a human can do is try to produce faith. Because we can't, through human effort, produce faith. But here it is, through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, he will give us faith. And he will give us faith when he calls us to a specific task, no matter how difficult, daunting, or overwhelming it may be to us as a human. The Holy Spirit will implant that faith in a heart to say, you can do it because I am with you. Hallelujah. He did that for Jochebed. When Jochebed looked upon Moses, even with all this murder of newborn babies going on all around her, she somehow knew God gave her the faith to believe God's got his hand on this child. He's going to protect it. And so she hid him for 3 months, the Bible says. I can't imagine how much faith Jochebed had to have been given by God to have all this murder of babies going on around her and her hiding her baby. You know, babies cry. They'll yell out. There ain't nothing louder than a baby crying. I mean, a baby crying could wake a dead man in a graveyard at midnight. I know what I'm talking about. I remember when I used to work second shift when our kids were young, and Ravonna was on first shift. And she'd gone back to work when they were both about 3 or 4 months old. And sure enough, buddy, about 2 or 3 in the morning, they'd let you know they're hungry. Especially Austin. Look, stand up a minute, Austin. Huh? Can you imagine this crying out at 3 in the morning, hunger growing up? They'll let you know. Mom's attesting too. I got a witness. Yeah. But she had to be in fear trying to hide her baby. And finally she realized, I can't hide him any longer. And God gives her the faith to do something that is so an example of belief and wisdom given by God. First, the decree from the king was throw the baby in the Nile River. Jochebed made up her mind. I'm going to obey the king's command. God gave her the wisdom to do this. I'm going to be able to say, if anybody asks me, I threw my baby in the Nile River. But she did it under the wisdom of God. She went and got some bulrushes, which were basically just some sticks. And she took the mud, the pitch from the Nile River, which they used to build ships with even today because of its strength. And she put the pitch around those bulrushes, or around the sticks, so to speak. Mixed it with the mud of the Nile River. It was a very sturdy thing. And she took Moses and laid him in that. And she went to the edge of the Nile River where the aristocracy of Egypt come to take baths She was just hoping in faith that the right person would find him. But she took this baby with Miriam, his sister, who was probably about 12 years old at this time. Moses' brother Aaron was probably about 3 years old at this time. But she took Moses, the Bible says, and laid him in the reeds of the Nile River. Now that's something special. Because the reeds in the Nile River prevent the current from carrying anything down the river. But what a great act of faith this was. Guys, I'm not sure we could get our minds around this. But I'm sure you mothers could. Could you imagine taking your little three-year-old infant and laying him in a manger, so to speak, a floating manger, and putting him in the river and leaving him? Man, that's faith. That's trusting God. That's the kind of faith only God can give to do something like that. But she did it also with godly wisdom that God had given her. She put him in the reeds of that river Nile where the aristocracy of Egypt would come to bathe. And something else she did. She said, Miriam, you stay close by. And they walked away, she did, and left him. With Miriam sitting probably just a few hundred yards away. 12-year-old girl. That's why the Bible says Miriam stayed behind to see what would happen to the baby. When you obey God, He's always going to honor faith. He's always going to honor faith and obedience. Moms, there's a message in this for you this morning. I don't care what kind of hellcat your son or daughter may be right now. If you committed them to the Lord Jesus Christ when they were little, that was the equivalent of you putting them in that little basket of bulrushes, because that basket of bulrushes was called a tiba. We use the word ark is used for that in English. There's only two places in Scripture where the word tiba is used. Once when Noah built the ark, and here when Moses was put into this basket of bulrushes, it was referred to as a tiba, an ark. What is that? What's the significance of that, Pastor? I'm going to tell you. The ark of Noah represented the cross of Jesus Christ. And that there was only safety, security, and salvation in that ark. What was Jochebed doing? She was giving up Moses to the Lord Jesus Christ. When she laid him in something far greater than a tiba, an ark. She laid him in the hand of Almighty God. She laid him in the hand of Almighty God. And mom, when you commit your children to the hand of Almighty God and you train them up in the way they should go, that never leaves them. I don't care what kind of lifestyle they may be in this morning. The power of this gospel is too overwhelming. It can't leave the human heart once the human spirit has heard it. She committed Moses to the hand of Almighty God. And mom, if you've committed your child to the hand of Jesus Christ, God is going to bring him in one day. Take heart. Keep believing. Keep believing. You had the faith to commit him to Jesus Christ. Linda, you know what I'm talking about. He's going to bring him in, Linda. He's going to bring him in. But here lays this baby now in the bulrushes by the Nile. And as I said, God always honors faith. It could have been anybody. Any of the aristocracy of Egypt could have been coming that day by the river Nile to take their bath. But God, in his providential guidance, has the childless daughter of Pharaoh marching toward that Nile River this day. And as she and her band of women approach the Nile River, now they hear this baby crying in the bulrushes of the Nile. And she says, fetch him for me. I'm hoping you're seeing how God honors faith in this simple story I'm trying to bring forth this morning. And as she hears this baby's cries, the daughter of Pharaoh, she says, bring him to me. And watch this, they unwrap him. And immediately she detects he's one of the Hebrew children. Have you ever wondered how instantaneously she knew that? How could she just instantly look at the baby and know this is one of the Hebrews? Because thousands of years before, God gave a covenant to Abraham, the covenant of circumcision, a type of a mark that these people belong to me. We have the same mark on us as believers in Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so when the world looks at the true born-again child of God, they know we're one of his. But when she unwrapped the swaddling cloths that Moses was in, she saw that he was circumcised and knew instantly this is one of the Hebrew children. Now watch this. She says to her maidens then, go find me somebody to breastfeed this baby. Now, as I did a little bit of medical research on this, and I hope I'm certainly not a doctor, but I play one on TV. No, I'm just... Remember that commercial? I'm dating myself, I know. When Robert Young, who used to play Marcus Welby, MD, would come on the TV commercial, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. As if that would lead credence to what he was selling, you know, some kind of medicine anyway. She says, go find somebody to nurse him for me. Now, from what little bit of research I did, I know this is conjuring up ugly images of Time magazine this week right now, but forget that. I'm not going to go there. But in any event, if the baby does not receive the milk of the mother that bore it, that milk does that baby no good. It won't provide it any nourishment at all. Even if it's from, is that right, Darren? I know he's from the medical world. He's saying, man, why'd I have to come today? It's terrible to come to your brother's church, ain't it? If anybody else knows, please feel free to just raise your hand and correct me after church. But based on what little bit of research I did, they say the milk from that mother's breast will do that child no good unless it's that child's mother. And she said, go find me somebody to nurse this baby. Now watch this. Not only was the providential care of God at work in honoring Jochebed's faith, and that it's the Pharaoh's daughter. It's the Pharaoh's daughter who shows up at the Nile River this day, who doesn't have any children, but watch this. I've always wondered, and the Lord showed it to me this week, how on earth did Pharaoh's daughter find Jochebed to nurse Moses? We're really not told, but I think the Lord showed me this week. Remember, Miriam was sitting there by the river? She's hearing all this go on. And I know she had God providentially worked it for Miriam to come up to Pharaoh's daughter and say, I know where I can find somebody to nurse this baby for you. Hallelujah! God's at work all the time if you'll believe him. And you'll obey him. It don't matter what the situation may look like. Keep on believing and obey him, and he'll give you wisdom, and he'll work providentially, and he'll work miraculously to help you out because he loves you. And God's honoring Jochebed's faith. And Miriam makes the connection with Pharaoh's daughter and then brings Jochebed to raise Moses. And Moses now, and Jochebed also, while she was nursing, no doubt had the privilege to live in the mansions and the palaces of Egypt when she was nothing but a poor little Hebrew girl who trusted God. And know this, whatever you give to God, whatever you entrust to his mighty hand, he's always going to hand it back to you. And when he does, it's going to be in better condition than it was. Hallelujah. She gave up her baby, Moses. Trusted him to the providential care of God, placing him in the Nile River. Think of that. I said, for a mother, I think you all probably understand this. I know you do a lot better than us guys do. I can't hardly get my mind around putting a baby, you know, in the Nile River like that as a man. But I can only imagine a mother's heart. But she knew she had to protect this baby, and she knew the only protection for him was Almighty God. And she trusted her God enough. That's a beautiful portrait of a mother's faith. I believe God gives you moms a special faith. I really do. A faith that we men don't have in the care and nurture of children. But she knew the hand of God was on this child, And she knew he belongs to God anyway. He came from God. And if I commit him to God, God will take care of him. What a beautiful portrait of faith that we see. What a beautiful portrait of a mother's faith. A godly mother. As I said, her name Jochebed means glory of Jehovah. Moses' father's name was Amram. That means friend of Jehovah. Hallelujah. Now let's preach for a minute. Some of you this morning, maybe your children are not right with God. Maybe they're into drugs and alcohol and sexual promiscuity and thievery and every kind of sin in the world. But when they were babies, you committed them to the hand of Almighty God. I'm here to tell you, God is working providentially on their lives right now to bring them back to you. And when he hands them back to you, and he will do it, that's what the Holy Spirit wanted you mothers to know or believe in for your lost children today. God is working providentially at this moment in time to bring that child back to you. And when they come back, they're going to be in a lot better condition than they were before they left you, because they're going to be touched by the hand of Almighty God. They're going to find salvation in Jesus Christ. God promises that to you, Mom. Don't look at the situation. Know that you committed that child to God, and God will bring that child home to you. Praise God. Let that faith fill your heart today, Mom. Let God give you that faith. Don't try and work it up. Let God give it to you, because he will. He's promised you your household if you'll believe him. If you'll believe him. And he's not requiring you to lay that child in the Nile River. But he's going to work the same way for you, because he loves you. Hallelujah. He'll bring that baby back. And I can't help but think of how blessed Jochebed must have been when Miriam come and told her, Mom, okay, can't you just see this in your mind's eye? Mom, you ain't going to believe this. You know how we put baby Moses in that ark of bulrushes down by the river, and we didn't know what was going to happen to him? Let me tell you something. Alligators run rampant in the Nile River. An alligator could have ate that baby. But if an alligator had come close to it, close to Moses, the power of God on his life would have scared that alligator to death, because he was under the protection of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And Miriam goes and tells Mom, Mom, you ain't going to believe this. I sat there for 3 or 4 hours. There was no alligators came near him. And then all of a sudden, here come the daughter of Pharaoh down to the river. And she heard him crying. And she picked him up. And Mom, she saw he was a Hebrew child. And she wants him as her own. She wants to take him to the palace. But she needs somebody to nurse him. Oh, I can just see Jochebed throwing up her hands and saying, praise Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. Hallelujah. And she says, come on, Mom. And they go. And evidence suggests, we're not told this in Scripture, but evidence strongly suggests that until the time he was probably about 16 years old, that Jochebed and Miriam and Aaron all lived in the Egyptian palace with Moses. Hallelujah. Oh, don't that bless you this morning to see how God is always working providentially when you just believe him. When you just believe him. And you know what? Maybe you're feeling this morning, I don't know what your situation, you can apply this lesson of faith to anything, but I thought it was especially beautiful today on Mother's Day to show the faith in a mother's heart. But if you'll just trust and obey and believe God, he'll give you the faith. He knows you don't have it anyway. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He knows we don't have the faith anyway. That's why I said, if you'll just have faith as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain, say, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say it. But some things have to go on first. First of all, God has to want that mountain moved. He has to have chosen you as the instrument he wants to work through to see that mountain moved. And then thirdly, he'll give you that seed of faith, hallelujah, to speak to the mountain. It all emanates and comes from God, not us. Believe him this morning. Believe him for your family, Mom. Believe him for whatever situation is in front of you. And you might be saying, but you don't know what I did, Pastor. You don't know what a big mess I made of it. God don't care. If you'll believe him, he's a God of grace and mercy. He'll straighten it out even though you were the one that made the mess. That's what makes him God. Hallelujah. No wonder we call him God. No wonder we call Jesus the Father of all grace and mercy. Because he is a master at taking our wrong, putting it in his right, and then he makes everything right. That's grace. Hallelujah. And he'll do it for you. He'll do it for anybody if they'll just believe him and trust him. That's all he requires. Man, that ain't a lot to ask for all he'll do for anybody to believe him. Can I tell you something as we're closing now? I feel the Holy Spirit lead me to hone in on it. I said it last week. It's worth saying again. Bonnie jumped all over me on the way home. She said, "You scared me to death." Well, buckle your seat. I'm going to scare you to death again today. The blood of Jesus does not cover sin. You hear what it said? The blood of Jesus does not cover sin. Yeah, I'm saying this to you if you're worried about your past failures and mistakes and thinking, God won't help me because I don't deserve it. Well, if we deserved it, it wouldn't be grace. If any of us deserved it, it would cease to be grace, and God only operates on grace. The blood of Jesus don't cover your sin. The blood of Jesus totally takes it away. Hallelujah! That's why when John the Baptist saw him coming over the Judean countryside, he pointed that finger at him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Woo! You don't have no past anymore if you put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that makes you eligible to have all the grace that heaven has to offer. Give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And if you'll just believe him like Jochebed did, you'll get the same result. Hallelujah. If you'll just believe him like Jochebed did, you'll get the same result she got. Blessing and grace. Blessing and grace. Blessing and grace. Would everyone please stand? Hallelujah. Praise God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? I'm going to ask everyone, if you would, right now, for the next few moments, in reverence to the Holy Spirit, please remain as silent as possible and no moving, please, unless you absolutely have to. I want to ask you the question, are you right with God? Are you right with God? You might be standing there and you think, well, yeah, I'm right with God. Well, let me ask you this, why are you right with God? What makes you right with God? You might say, well, I believe in Jesus. I come to church at Christmas and Easter, and I try to be good. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For God to have a relationship to humanity, he requires that human be 100% perfect in every area of their life before he will relate to you. And now you say, well, I know I ain't perfect. Exactly. That's why you need a Savior. The question I'm asking you, are you right with God? The only correct answer to it is, I have put and kept my faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me from all sin and to break sin's power over my life. That's the only thing that can make a human being right before a holy God, by faith. You can't be good enough to be right before a holy God. Your works will not get you there. I don't care how good you try to be, we're none good. Not a one of us. The Bible says that. You need a Savior, and that Savior is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And the way to obtain that salvation is only by faith in what he did for you on the cross, by shedding his blood as a sacrifice, because he was perfect. He is the only one who's ever been perfect. That's why he did it. That's why he went to the cross, because he knew his sacrifice would be the only one God could accept. And by faith, God will put his sacrifice on your record and make you right with him. See, the sin, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, sin is dominating your life. We're all born with a sin nature. It's not the devil. The devil may have suggested the things you're doing. But no, it's really not him. You're the problem. Because you have a sin nature. We're born bad. And that sin nature dominates you and enslaves you and forces you to do things that at times you even question yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? I know it's wrong. I know it's killing me, but yet you can't stop. You're in bondage. You're bound by sin. Not the devil. You're bound by sin. But Jesus Christ is the only one who can deliver from that sin. I'm here to tell you, you can't stop drinking. You can't quit cussing. You can't quit whatever it is you're trying to quit that's sinful through human strength. You'll never do it. It's too powerful for you. But if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning and what he did for you on the cross, he'll send the Holy Spirit of God into your life, and he will break that bondage. And he, in the presence of his Holy Spirit, will take up residence in your life and defeat the power of that sin nature for you, but you will never do it. I want to ask you again, are you right with God? Do you want to be right with God this morning? If you're not, based upon the biblical definition I gave you of how to be right with God, I want to ask you again, do you want to be right with God? If you're here today and you're bound by sin, I wasn't always a preacher. I know what it's like to have those ugly tentacles around your soul and you're doing things that are destroying you and you want to quit and say you're going to and you can't and you keep falling into the same old thing over and over. Jesus wants to set you free from that this morning, and he'll do it if you'll call on him, and he'll make you right with God. Are there any here this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm bound by sin, and I want to change, and I want to be right with God. Right now, without hesitation, would you slip up a hand and hold it up high so I'll see it. I know I'm not right with God, but I want to be today. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to call you down to the front of the sanctuary. This will be between you and him. But I'm telling you, and I feel the Holy Spirit pressing me on this, he is your only hope, Jesus Christ. There is no other. There's no hope in an Alcoholics Anonymous. There's no hope in a psychologist's couch. There's no hope in a pill. The only hope humanity has is in Jesus Christ. One last time, are there any who would say this morning, I know I'm not right with God, but I want to be today. Would you slip up a hand and hold it up high? I won't embarrass you, I promise. Are there any? Then as we close this morning, I want to speak to you moms. The Lord burdened my heart for you as I was preparing this message. Some of you have lost children. You did your best. Satan has played on your mind because you did your best to raise them right. And he's been telling you they're never coming home. They're never going to be right with God. That's a lie. That's all he knows how to do is lie. You ought to rejoice in the mere fact he's telling you something like that because it's a lie. You committed them to God when they were babies. And here's the message that the Holy Spirit wants to put across to you moms this morning. The same God of Jochebed is the same God of yours. And he is no respecter of person. What he'll do for one, he'll do for all. Keep on believing. God is working providentially right now to bring your baby into the palace of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just keep on believing in this morning. And to those of you, you may be facing something in your life that is so daunting and so far above you. It's okay. Just believe him. Just believe him today. You don't have to try and work up the faith. Don't listen to some whacked out faith teacher on TV trying to tell you, oh, you got to work it up. Oh, you got to do things. We can't do nothing to build faith. He's got to build it in us. He's got to build it in us. And he'll give it to you this morning as an act of grace if you'll just believe it. And as we're dismissed right where you stand this morning, whether you're a mother who has lost loved ones or whether you're facing a situation that maybe even you caused it, but know this, you have no past anymore if you've placed your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to hear this morning. If you're working from the standpoint of that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're working from a standpoint of grace now, and you have no past. God is treating you like you never did anything wrong. My Lord, somebody praise him. And as long as your faith is kept in that shed blood, that's how God views you. My Lord. So he's going to help you. Just believe him. And you might be thinking, well, I don't deserve it. Well, who does? Who does? My Lord, you might be thinking, well, preacher, you're a holy man. You preach the word of God. I ain't got no holiness except what he gave me. That's all any of us get. He has to give that to us. And he will work in our lives from the standpoint of faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which takes away all sin and removes all sin, past, present, and future. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So believe him right now as we pray. Let's go together corporately and you pray for yourself individually. This week, I believe God has given me a word of knowledge right now for several. This week, God is going to show you a revelation of his grace in your life like you've never seen before. He's going to do something so glorious and so far beyond what you thought could ever happen in your life. He's going to do it for you this week. Believe him. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I thank you that we all come to you one way through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that you, being the God of grace and mercy that you are, you will give us the faith to believe you for what you want to do in our lives. How much kinder could you be to us, Lord Jesus? Not only do you wash our sins away, not only do you make us holy and right before God, but Lord Jesus, you then work with us as if we never sinned. And you give us things we don't deserve. And you work in our lives in ways that we could never earn nor deserve. That's what makes you the God of grace. Like Brother Max Lucado said, no wonder we call you Savior. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, today, to everyone who is facing the daunting, overwhelming, bigger than life situation, it's not bigger than you, Lord Jesus. It's not bigger than you, and these are your children. Give a fresh faith today, Lord, in spirits to believe you, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Right now, some of you have put your faith where it needs to be, and God is working providentially right now in your situation to do something glorious and miraculous because of your faith, in him. It's nothing you've done right. It's nothing we could ever deserve. It's because of his grace and your faith in him. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Give Jesus Christ a hand of praise this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We have a little present for all you mothers this morning. Ravon and Austin and Tara, did you want to come down and help give these out? We're going to ask all you mothers and mothers-to-be, some of you mothers-to-be, I'm going to ask you to step out in faith this morning if you're believing God for a child and come down and take one of these tulips that we have for you as an act of faith just to say, God, you're going to give me this child. Hallelujah. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. But if you're a mother or mother-to-be one day, we want you to please make your way down to the front here. We're going to hand you out a rose, and we'd like you to remain for just a minute and have a special prayer for you. Or tulips, I'm sorry, not a rose. Mothers, would you please come? And mothers-to-be.